Welcome back to the Extra Movie Butter Podcast. Folks, this week we have a fun one in store for you. We are joined by the one and only host of Settle the Score, Matt Nost himself. And we've decided that we, since January is kind of a shitbox for movies as it is, we're going to give a little known genre its own Oscar night. And that little known genre, which rarely ever wins, let's be honest, any Oscars, is action movies. Now, I'm not quite the sommelier of action movies like the rest of the gentlemen on our panels are. But what we've decided, and this was Benny's idea, was that we were going to come up with a nomination for Best Actor, Actress, Supporting Actor, Director, Best Franchise, Best Story. So we're going to jump right into it. But first and foremost, I announced it earlier, but we want to give him a nice welcome. Matt Nost, thank you so much for being on this podcast, buddy.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It's nice to see everyone. And, welcome to the world, I guess, of Extra Movie Butter Pop podcasting.
And Benny, what do you decide to call this award show?
These are the first annual Slarny Awards.
A mix Slarny of Award. Sly and Arnold is what I'm guessing. The two
that
icons.
Is correct.
Okay, just want to make sure. Two icons of action. How much are they going to show up in these lists? I'm curious who you guys have to go with.
Now, Benny, do you want to set some ground rules before we start our nominations?
Yes, if it ends up boiling down to where we go to a vote, you cannot vote for your own movie. You must at least nominate one movie from the 1980s in your list of 10. But outside of that, there are no rules. As far as what's eligible, it can fall into other genres as long as in its IMDb page it says action somewhere under the genres listed.
That's fair. Well, we're going to jump right in. And we're going to go through our first four categories before we go to break. And our first category is going to be Best Supporting Actor in an Action Movie. And, of course, we got to lead off with our guest, Mr. Nost. Best Supporting Actor in an Action Movie and why?
The two supportings, I think, are the weirdest of all the categories to choose from.
Correct.
So I just kind of went off the wall, and I took Sam Jackson as Zeus in Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Good pick.
Nice.
Good pick. Because
he adds a nice little curveball. You know, it's a different flavor in the mix. And it's similar. Look, McClane has had black sidekicks in the franchise twice previously, but none that really carried the screen as well. You could say he's kind of a co-lead, but going into it, this is a John McClane film. So I look at him as a supporting actor in this, and it really elevated Sam Jackson to kind of the next level. That and Pulp came out the same year, and Pulp gets him all the award recognitions, but Die Hard really puts him on the map for almost everybody else. So I chose Zeus from Die Hard with a Vengeance.
I didn't realize that was the same year. What a strong year for Samuel Jackson. Yeah. Wow.
I'll go next because I also have a Die Hard nomination for Best Supporting Actor, and that would be one Alan Rickman as Hans Gruber. I think when you think of iconic action villains, I think the number one person that you always gravitate to is Hans Gruber. So I like Matt, also struggled with figuring out like what is starring, what is supporting, and I believe this was one of Rickman's first movies. We all know the story behind the legendary false take when he does the fall so they could get his actual reaction as he's falling from the Nakatomi Plaza. Hans Gruber, Alan Rickman, that's my nomination.
That's so interesting because my mind never really went to villains. I always kind of went to the sidekick of the hero, but that does count. That's very interesting and good choice. That's a tough one. Who should go, me or you, Benny?
I'll go because, quite frankly, I do not know what the hell these two guys are talking about, like going with these characters from Die Hard, because I went with Hans Gruber from Die Hard. That's my supporting.
My man.
And I'm completely with Moose. Like, if you think of action villains, like, in the Pantheon, he's on the Mount Rushmore. You know, Alan Rickman made a career from playing, like, these sort of douchey British evil guys, you know, and it sent him down that path. But it was perfect casting, perfect role, burned into the American culture. Love it.
Wow. Well, we're up against it here, Matt, but we all seem to be in the Die Hard universe except for me. So I kind of approach this as who's somebody who almost steals the spotlight from the leading actor. Like when I walk away from that movie, I'm like, yeah, the lead actor was great, but man, that supporting character almost elevated the movie to another level. And so I went with an action Western and I'm going with Val Kilmer in Tombstone. Mm-hmm. I'll Be Your Huckleberry. Maybe the best performance in that movie. And I think Kurt Russell's awesome as Wyatt Earp. And I think Michael Biehn is great in that. Powers of Booth is great. But the movie that gets quoted a lot is from the same lines that are spoke by Val Kilmer. And I would argue it may be Val Kilmer's best role. I think he's great in The Doors, but that is a very decisive movie. It's an Oliver Stone movie about drugs and rock and roll. I think his actual acting in this movie is probably better than anybody else's in the film. So to me, he is the shining bright star of that film. And I think Val Kilmer absolutely is a badass. He's funny. He's charismatic and he's heartbreaking at the very end when he's reaching the end of his life. And to me, the scene that always comes up back to me in Tombstone is when Michael Biehn is waiting to meet Wyatt Earp and out of the shadows comes Val Kilmer, who you think has got one foot in the grave. And he goes, I'll be your Huckleberry. Just to me, that role kind of makes Tombstone a movie, a good movie to a great movie.
All how do you guys feel? Nominations.
How do you guys feel? So, because I'm the odd man out with not being a diehard movie, how do you guys feel about my nomination? Do you feel like it's in the running, or we should just throw it away?
No, I think it's a great performance. Like, it didn't pop into my head because I wasn't thinking westerns when I was thinking action movies. But yeah, it's to me, it's Val Kilmer's most iconic performance. You know, I'm not a big Top Gun guy, but great. So I absolutely, and he is absolutely the best part of that movie.
I will say, well, go ahead, man. By the rules that Benny put forth very early on, if you go to its IMDb, action is not listed as one of its categories.
Ooh. Oh, no, really?
So your nomination is null and void.
Oh, I'll be honest. I didn't know about that rule until just before the show.
Yeah, I didn't know about the 80s rule either. So
yeah,
that was sarcasm. That's not
okay. Things get sprung. And here's the thing. Like, not all Westerns kind of reach that action movie role. Like Unforgiven's a good Western, but I wouldn't consider it action. But movies like The Wild Bunch, Magnificent Seven, and to me, Tombstone are action packed. And so I do agree it is kind of playing that line. But if it doesn't, I didn't know about that rule. So if that's against the rules, I will take him out of the running.
Well, I mean, we've already lost JTE. So yes, fine.
I've lost.
I like the nomination. I appreciate the moxie of throwing a Val Kilmer in this early into this kind of a conversation. But I also don't necessarily, I mean, while there is plenty of action in that movie, I would consider that more of like a drama than an action movie. So I'm going to say no to Val Kilmer.
All right. Understood. I understood. I was thinking a little bit outside the box, but I just love that performance. So even if I lose it, I'm glad to give some Val Kilmer love for Doc Holliday. So I think here we have two of you have Alan Rickman. Matt, do we just give it to Alan Rickman or do you want to fight for Samuel?
No, there's no point. We've already lost this war. They have the high ground. They're firing down at us, and there's nothing we could do except, you know, run for shelter. So let's just take our shelter and live to fight another day.
All right. So go ahead, Benny. This is your award.
Happy trails, Hans.
We'd like to congratulate Alan Rickman on winning the first ever Slarney Award for Best Supporting Actor. Congratulations, Alan. I'm sure you would be here if you were still alive.
R.I.P. Alan. Iconic role. I mean, he's definitely the scene where he pretends to be like a hostage and like tries to double back and kill John McClane is just like an awesome scene. He eats the scenery, so well deserved.
So Benny, what is your you're up next, buddy? What is your nomination for best supporting actress in an acting movie? Or in an action movie.
So my nomination.
They're all acting movies, folks.
Yeah.
My nominee for best supporting actress. I am going with a child actress at the time who ended up being an Academy Award winning actress, Natalie Portman in Leon the Professional. I think at the time she was 10 or 11. And it's a lot like Jodie Foster in Taxi Driver, where I think there's some scenes it's questionable to have a child actor, you know, portraying those scenes, but nonetheless, she manages to portray them really well. So you can't, whether or not you think it's appropriate having a child actor in those scenes, she plays them really well. And it ends up being, for an action movie, a really heartfelt and sad action movie. And a lot of that is due to her performance, even though she's doing it as a kid. So to me, she carries the emotional weight in that movie, and it's a solid movie. And I always remember when I think of Natalie Portman, even though she's done a million other things, that's actually what I think of her for.
Well said.
Well, JT, what's your nomination for Best Supporting Actress?
This was a tough one for me. I mean, definitely thought about Natalie Portman. I did want to go for a Best Supporting Actress that got her hands dirty. Maybe her feet dirty a little bit too. I went with Carrie Ann Moss in The Matrix. I think when you think of The Matrix, you think of Neo. But you forget that Carrie Ann Moss is there kicking ass with him step for step, especially in the first film. The whole third act, it's a two-hander with those two. And she's the first one to kill an agent. She kills that agent, boom, right to the head when she's trying to kill Neo. So I think Carrie Ann Moss gives a really good performance. It's obviously a very subdued performance because of what The Matrix is, and they're kind of like in this goth kind of Neo, you know, Matrix-y vibe. But I think she carries out, listen, the sequels, less said the better. The original is what I'm talking about here, the original 1999 Matrix. Carrie Ann Moss, everyone does that kick. All those other movies spoof that one like weird crane kick in the sky. Who did that? Carrie Ann Moss. Who opens the movie? Carrie Ann Moss, while she's being chased by agent, goes through the window with two guns blaring. So I'm going with Carrie Ann Moss.
Not a bad nomination. Matt, how about you? Best Supporting Actress.
Yeah, I found this one to be the most difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Because like Carrie Ann Moss to me is like, that's almost co-lead. It's getting pretty
almost
close. Almost. And Natalie Portman is almost co-lead.
Agreed.
It's like that's the problem with there's tons of females in the lead position in great action roles. So trying to find somebody who's third, fourth fiddle in the movie that's a female and plays an amazing character was like, okay, that's where I'm going to try and focus on, where it's definitely not theirs, but they make an impact. So I went with Tessa Thompson from Thor Ragnarok.
Because
she comes in, she adds a nice bit of comedy and levity to it, since she has the bond with Hulk. She carries the bravado, and you buy into her, like she can handle herself in a fight. And yet, she fades in and out. She is not the focus, and she doesn't close out. Like, she is not the focal point of the movie in and of itself. She's a phenomenal character. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go with that, because I don't know how you guys are going to grade these lists. So I don't want to get dinged because my choice is a little too much screen time. So I figured she's right in that perfect mix of she's not on enough to be considered somewhere in the co-lead situation. And I like the character quite a bit.
Yeah, I would argue that's a breakout role. I think that's how everybody got to know Tessa Thompson. She was in Creed and some other films, but Valkyrie is probably her biggest character that she's known for.
Yeah, up to that point, I agree.
All right, Moose, hit us.
I love that nomination. I love her as the character of Valkyrie. She's out. Thor: Love and Thunder aside, like Thor Ragnarok is one of my like favorite MCU movies, and she is certainly a standout in that movie. In a movie with everyone standing out, so okay. So I like you guys kind of struggled with this, so I went with somebody who. I guess you can maybe consider her the lead actress in this movie, but she's obviously going to be playing second fiddle to Tom Cruise. And I went with Emily Blunt from Edge of Tomorrow. And I went with this as Best Supporting Actress. One, because Emily Blunt up to this point had never really done anything action related. And then she comes on and she's the full metal bitch in this movie. And she's outstanding. And I love this movie, Edge of Tomorrow. I was so late to the party with this one and only watched this one maybe for the first time like 2 years ago and have rewatched it and rewatched it and rewatched it ever since. I think it's much like the theme of the movie, like a Groundhog's Day theme to it. The movie has a lot of rewatchability, even if you're watching it for the second, third, fourth, fifth time. And Emily Blunt is a standout in this one. I think she overshadows Tom Cruise in this movie. And I think that's what you're looking for in a good action performance, especially if you're going against the king of action movies, that is Tom Cruise. So my vote is Emily Blunt for Edge of Tomorrow.
All right. I'll just open that up by saying Me personally, I would take Natalie Portman out only because I want this best supporting actress to get her hands a little dirty. I want her to be involved in action. And I think Portman is great in The Professional, and she's a great actress in it. But she never really gets to get her hand in action. Towards the end of that movie, she's the damsel in distress who causes the action to kind of spark off. But for me, I like other three picks just because they are somebody I would not want to face one-on-one in a battle. How do you feel about that, Benny? Do you want
for
to fight?
For an action award, I think that's a fair argument. She doesn't really drive any of the action, and these are action awards, so I can live with her being taken out of the running for that reason.
All right, Matt and Moose, out of us three, is there anybody who would be the next one you would drop out?
So, unfortunately, Emily Blunt is the co-lead of that movie. She's on the poster. It's just the two of them. Like, the last two-thirds of that movie, it's just the two of them.
Yeah.
She is the co-lead to me. That's the other thing. She's a badass. Never in a million years did I ever think Emily Blunt would be in an action movie, A, and B, I'd be like, dude, she needs to do more action films, which is just bananas. It's like when you see John Cena in a comedy for the first time, you're like, this dude can do jokes? What the fuck?
Right.
Yeah, you don't expect it at all. That's all I would say. I don't know, though, but that's just me because I went into this going, I'm looking for somebody who's third, fourth banana.
Yeah, that's fair.
And that's how I viewed it, as supporting. But at the same time, like, you know, Robert Downey Jr. is going to win supporting Oscar, and he's in that movie a lot.
Yeah. My argument was, I think Trinity is just a more iconic character than the Emily Blunt role. I like Emily Blunt in that role. I think she's awesome. And I do think she's kind of the highlight of that movie in some ways. She kind of steals the thunder a little bit from Tom Cruise. I just feel like Carrie Ann Moss is it's such an iconic role. And I also agree with you, though, Matt. Like, Tessa Thompson definitely, sometimes the supporting characters, it's better when they come in just when they're needed and they're not there throughout the whole movie. So I'm going to ask Benny and Moose, like, out of these two, between me and Matt, who would you guys like more?
I think I'm going to go with Nost here because I think you could make the same argument with Carrie Ann Moss that she's not a supporting actress, at least in the first Matrix.
Yeah.
Because you could make Thor, it won't be as good, but you can make Thor Ragnarok without Valkyrie. You cannot make that first Matrix movie without Carrie Ann Moss's Trinity.
Interesting. True. All right. I think I will relinquish and we'll go Tessa Thompson and Thor Ragnarok. For best
That would have been my vote there. Okay. Oh. So Tessa Thompson wins Best Supporting Actress for Thor Ragnarok.
All right. I'm also keeping track of all these if you're not.
Yeah, so am I.
Okay. All right.
Okay, next we are up to Best Visual Effects in an Action Movie. JT, you're going to lead us off on this one, buddy.
Listen, I'm not going to give a big speech here. Terminator 2 Judgment Day. I kind of going for the net. I just rewatched this the other night. I watched the first Terminator and the second Terminator. Now, are all the effects still 100% stand up till today? No, there's a couple times where I'm like, okay, yeah, the liquid T-1000 Liquidator doesn't all work, but it works 90% of the time. And it's not just that the special effects are awesome still for the most part, but the way they're used to the story, the way he created this villain using this new liquid Terminator effects, I think it's still groundbreaking and makes the movie just so much cooler. So I'm going with T2 Judgment Day, mainly because of the T-1000. But I will say this, the effects throughout the whole movie are fantastic. I think the scenes where they go back to the future, where they show the future, like they did the first movie, you really see the budget restraints when they show Kyle Reese in the future fighting Terminators. And this one, it feels like, holy crap, this looks like you're actually this. James Cameron got a budget. After he did Aliens, The Abyss, I feel like he was fully able to realize what he wanted to do in that first Terminator with Terminator 2. So I went T2 Judgment Day.
JT, I love you for the words that you just make up on the spot, like liquidator. Yes.
Liquidator.
Sounds like somebody that would be closing down a retail outlet.
That's what I called him as a kid. Me and my cousin would always say, the liquidator. Because Terminator, liquidator.
Matt, how about you? Best effects in an action movie.
I will say T2 was my second choice.
Yeah.
But my number one choice was Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Ooh, that was right there with me. Yeah.
If you watch it right now, they're just as good today, and it's been almost 30 years. That's amazing.
Yeah.
You go watch the first time Sam Neill sees that brontosaurus, apatosaurus, whatever it is. That legit looks like a real dinosaur. And then obviously they have like the huge animatronic, you know, T-Rex that comes in later, whatnot. But they still use quite a bit of CGI in there. And the blend between the two effects is pretty seamless at times. But this, if you just want to say the CGI, and we're calling that the effect, is groundbreaking then and still looks amazing to this day. And I think you got to kind of tip your hat to them that they managed to perfect it all those many decades ago. So Jurassic Park is my choice.
Great choice.
I'm going to go next because my choice was also Jurassic Park for all of the same reasons that Matt said. I annually view Jurassic Park, and I just said this to my wife when we watched it like 3 weeks ago. We watched it and I was like, my God, like it still looks like when I was a kid and saw this movie in theaters. Like it still looks so real. So yeah, that was my vote as well with Jurassic Park.
Bennett.
T2 and Jurassic Park were in the running with RoboCop, but they all lost out to one movie for me because the way that I conceptualized it, I went with in its time, what movie had the best effects in its time and what has held up the best over time. So it's kind of a cop-out, but I went with Star Wars. I think it has had more impact on visual effects than any other movie. And it still looks good, and it's almost 50 years old. Whereas, like, RoboCop and T2, they were great in their era. But when you watch them, the effects, they do look really dated now. Whereas Star Wars, some of it is a little dated, but it still looks like it could have been made recently on a low budget.
Are you going with the first Star Wars? Is that what you're saying?
The first Star Wars. Okay.
Well, guys, these are all these are all heavy hitters, no doubt about it. Here's what I'll say about Star Wars. I think if you did Empire, I would have probably said, I think you picked the one that kind of launched it. I think they improved it on the sequels. I think, again, the budget restraints, same way I feel about Terminator 1. I love Terminator 1, but you could see the budget restraints a little bit, especially towards the end when it's like stop motion. I feel like Star Wars, while groundbreaking the time, they perfected it more so in Empire because they had the budget to do so. But if you're going for like groundbreaking effects, like what changed things, then yeah, I understand why you would go Star Wars. I will say this, Jurassic Park, there are three scenes where the CGI doesn't look great. I don't think it's flawless. I think the first time they see the dinosaur, the brontosaurus, goes up on 2 feet, it looks like bad CGI because it's during the daytime. The scene where they're in the field and they're running away from all those, like, you know, ostrich dinosaurs.
Come on.
Yeah. The Jurassic Park, the CGI with the T-Rex looks the best at nighttime because they do a great job mixing, like you said, Matt, practical and physical. So I don't like, listen, but all these movies are groundbreaking. For me, I just think the dinosaurs. Yeah. To me, it's between Terminator and Jurassic Park, but that's me. Benny, how do you feel? Do you guys disagree? Do you want to take Terminator out, or do you think it's between Star Wars and Jurassic Park?
No, the two of them already voted for Jurassic Park off the cuff. And I will say this, as you guys have been giving me shit for the past 2 weeks because of my opinions on Terminator 2. Jurassic Park, if like you watch it now, it looks like a good movie now with just a couple patches of bad CGI, where sometimes in Terminator 2, it looks like a screensaver is on the man. So I think that Jurassic Park has held up better over time than Terminator 2 has. And I think they were both equally groundbreaking at their time. So I would go with Jurassic Park out of the two.
All right. I think we got to give it to Jurassic Park. You know what? They made sequels and the sequels didn't look as good as the original. So I don't know what the hell happened. Jurassic World at times looks worse than Jurassic Park. Like, how does that happen?
Well, the acting doesn't help.
Yeah, that's true.
And all I'd right, say so, more so the writing doesn't help.
So best effects, we're going Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park. Well done. Next up, this is one of my favorites, and I'm so anxious to hear everybody's nomination. This is best action scene in an action movie. Matt, kick us off, man. What do you got?
Okay, when JT originally sent me this, it was best fight scene, and then he amended thereafter. But I was still thinking fight. that's where my brain was. And I was like, you know what? Because there's the problem is once you open up this category, there's too many to choose from.
Mm.
So I was happy to have the, you know what? I'm just going to stick with the one category. And the first thing that came to mind was the hallway fight scene in The Raid is stinking good.
Hold on, just clarification. Which one? Because I feel like
this The Raid Redemption. How dare you?
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
How dare you? Where he takes the guy and he smacks it into the tile. It goes into the sconce, the light fixture, and then the tile down, just down the... He fights eight, nine guys, and it's so well choreographed that I legitimately believe that there is a slight... there's a slight plausibility to this entire scenario, even though there's no world would this ever happen. Because if there's eight dudes there, then they're just going to rush them and they're going to kick crap out of them. But I mean, I remember seeing it in the theater for the first time. And once they got to that head smashing, my brain couldn't process the action that was going on. And I just started laughing. It's like, it's somewhat similar to, would you see like old footage or movies recreating footage like World War One and whatnot, and guys going into shell shock and they're just so traumatized that they just start laughing and whatnot because your brain cannot process what exactly it's seeing. And that was the first thing that came to mind. I thought of other things, the fighting old boy with the hammer, a couple other scenes, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to go with The Raid Redemption and that hallway fight scene. You guys are probably going to nominate three better overall, and I'm happy to lose this one. I just think this category was so wide open that anything is possible. So I just went with that fight scene.
Yeah, this was a hard category.
That's a great scene. Well, JT, you're next, buddy. What do you got?
All right. So I went with this. Listen, like Matt said, there's so many options here. Like, it's insane. There's so many action movies I love. I went with the action scene that no matter how many times I've seen this movie, every time this scene comes up, I stand up and get excited, and I'm anticipating it the whole movie. And it's the scene. Listen, there's fight scenes, there's car chases, there's all these things. I love a good shootout. I love a great choreographed shootout. Now, you can go over the top of the shootouts, kind of like a John Woo movie. Take any John Woo movie, Face Off, Hard Boiled. The choreography is great. The visuals is great. But I went with a shootout. To me, I think it's considered one of the best shootouts of all time. And it's in one of the best movies of the 90s. I'm going with that downtown LA shootout from Heat with Al Pacino and Robert De Niro. That scene, it's crazy because I've seen movies before it and movies after it. And yet I just don't think any movie really grabs the visceral feeling that I get when that scene happens. It is loud. It like rattles your bones. It's intense and great camera work by Michael Mann. You never lose track where everybody is and what's happening. It's great composition shots, and that's a really hard thing to do in action. So for me, the LA shootout and Heat.
Not bad. Benny.
So I'm going for one I don't think has a prayer of winning, but I don't care. When I think of, this is not the best action movie. When I think of action movies, the movie that pops into my head is the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie Commando. It's to me the purest distilled version of an action movie. And there's a scene in it where he follows a guy named Sally into a mall. Then he proceeds to beat the shit out of 20 cops. He swings off of a giant balloon. He smashes an elevator. Then he goes on a car chase with Sally. And then he has one of the best kills in action movie history where he holds him up with one arm over a cliff and says, Sally, do you remember when I promised to kill you last? I lied. And then he drops him. So it has every perfect element of an action movie. It has a fight, it has a car chase, and a kill. All three elements of a great action movie. It has them all in one scene. Love it. So that's my nomination.
Interesting.
Wow. All right. Okay. So again, me not being the sommelier of action movies, I went with one that's kind of a more recent entry that still, like, it was one of the few action sequences when I was in a movie, because I'm like a story driven movie kind of guy. And so when it comes to action, sometimes I glaze over a little bit and I'm waiting to get through the action to get back to the story.
Oh, no.
I mean, listen, if you listen to my review of Beekeeper with you guys a few weeks ago, you realize I hated that movie, and that's just all one big action sequence. But there was a scene in a movie, and I literally, as I was watching this movie, almost had a similar reaction to what Matt was doing, but it was more like, no, like, I just couldn't believe that this, the carnage that was happening in this movie, all while this song Freebird is playing. And that's the church sequence from the movie Kingsman. What also was so surprising about this is, once again, Colin Firth, British gentleman Colin Firth, being the guy to just wreak havoc on all of these people at this church. And the way that it's choreographed and seen, it almost looks like a one shot. They have these occasional clip outs where it's showing, you know, Eggsy or Samuel Jackson's character, but then it keeps going back, and the whole time that Colin Firth is like actually like embattled in this church, it all just seems like it's just one fluid shot. It's incredible. And then it's, you just have that song playing in the background the entire time. It just amplified, like, makes my anxiety go sky high as I'm just watching this sequence. But I had to go with something that, and I kind of still had Fight in my head too, along like the same lines as Matt, where I know we went with best action sequence, but I kept just thinking of, like, best action sequences usually involve large crowds of people fighting each other. So I came back to this one, and this is the one that always stands out to me when I think of, like, action sequences. So we've got
Yeah. Does anybody want to support the Benny's Commando pick? Let me ask that, because he said he feels like he might be, you know, working against it here. Does anybody want to support the Commando pick?
I think for next year we should add best line or best one-liner, and that sequence may win for best one-liner. But
yeah,
I may be going to veto Commando.
Yeah, I think Commando, the mall scene, he's like fighting a bunch of mall security guys. Like, I remember him just throwing dudes around. There's nothing very impressive about that action scene to me, so I would probably have to veto Commando. But if anything, maybe if you did the last 10 minutes of Commando, I think he might have had a better fight where he's blowing up houses that look like they're made from confetti. That's would probably be a better pick, but I would have to veto Commando also. Matt, how you feeling?
I feel like we're just piling on Benny. Why are we doing this? Like a perfectly the nice man. You just happen to pick one of the few Arnold films from the 80s that I can't stand.
Really?
Oh, I do not like Commando.
That's tragic.
Yeah. Taste.
Whereas if you throw a dart at any of the others, dude, I'm a fan. Flat out. I am a fan. I just watched Running Man like 3 months ago for the umpteenth time.
Me too.
I just, Commando, I cannot. He was really going, you know what I'm good at are these punny one-liners. You know, he needs to let off some steam. Yeah. Okay. It killed me. I didn't like it as a kid. That to me is, I'm not the biggest Sly fan either. Like, Cobra to me is awful. Awful. And most of Sly's are awful to me. Whereas Arnold, I love it. I love the cheesy, and Commando to me is like, that should have been a Sly role, and it's another movie of Sly's I don't care for, as opposed to Arnold's.
Wow. Nice. You know what's interesting, Matt? You said The Raid. I considered The Raid by the last fight with the two brothers against...
Sure.
This scene for me out of The Raid.
Well, the thing is, that goes on for like 12 minutes, and there's no way that these dudes have enough stamina, whereas the hallway is like, this seems kind of real. This seems like it could actually happen.
The hard thing is when you said The Raid, the hallway scene, I was like, the whole movie, they're just going floor to floor, hallway to hallway.
Well, it's him and one other dude, but the other dude's hurt.
He pushes
up against the side, and then he takes on like two dudes, and then he has to like resituate him and come back and fight three more guys.
The scene with the tile, though, I do remember that, because I was in the trailer, and I remember seeing that going, oh my God, he's bashing dude's head in. I will say, I'll just give my opinion. I'm not a big fan of the Kingsman movie.
Oh.
One, I didn't like two. One, I enjoy... For the most part, I didn't love that action scene, but I do think it's impressive. I think it's well done. But I think for me, it was more about the overall movie. I just didn't love the movie overall. But that is the scene everyone talked about walking out of that movie. It was the one. I think is it a one take? I have to go back and watch it. Did you rewatch it? It's just camera tricks.
It's camera tricks. It was filmed over like 5 weeks. I looked that up earlier today when I was creating my list. Mm-hmm. It took them 5 weeks to film that, but you got to figure like the choreography that has to go into something with that much carnage is incredibly impressive.
Last thing I'll say is for me, again, Heat, that scene downtown is just all-timer to me. I think all the scenes you guys are talking about, like the raid, that's one of many great scenes in that movie. And the Kingsman, that's probably the best scene in that movie. I'll agree with that. But I just feel like the iconic downtown gun battle in Heat is just, it's on another level, in my opinion. But I'll lead up to you guys. What do you think? Do you think it's not enough action?
We're all kind of defending our cases here. Yeah. We've already vetoed Benny. Benny, what do you think of our cases that we've created here?
So here is the thing. Like the raid, it has a conglomerance of the best fight scenes, but I can't, like the scene that Matt's talking about, it blurs in with the other fight scenes in the raid. Fair. And
because it's not,
I think that the Kingsman is the least impressive out of all four movies as far as action goes. But then the only question I have is, I don't necessarily think of Heat as being an action movie.
It does say action on IMDb.
Okay, if that's the case,
I checked.
If that's the case, then I go with Heat. That's the best for like standout action scene out of the others. To me, I don't really think of Heat as an action movie.
It's definitely one of those movies where, is it action packed? No. But if we're just talking about action scene, that scene is amazing.
I agree with Benny that one's a tough one to call action. But Benny and Moose, do we want to reward JTE for basically going, listen, your pick is good and all, but it sucks. And this is why my pick is great.
What's the most iconic?
All three of us. So what's should the we most just iconic? Team up and say, we're not going to vote for him and we'll vote for somebody. I'll renege and go Commando is my vote just to screw over JTE right now.
That is true. Yeah. JTE. That
just keep doing it. He's done it four times now. He's like, you know,
I got to argue.
Let me tell you what, Jurassic Park graphics don't hold up, but T2 absolutely does.
Yeah, he's done it every time to all of us.
So far, none of my nominees have won. Let's just point that out. I have agreed to all the other nominees.
But you've also undercut us at every opportunity.
I got to debate and make my case.
As I go through like my mind and I start to like remember like the scene from Heat, yes, it's a great scene, but it's also not one that immediately jumps out to me. I feel like the greatest action sequences or the greatest fight scenes are the ones that immediately jump to mind. As soon as Matt mentioned the Raid Redemption, I immediately thought of the two scenes, one of him and the brother and the other was the hallway scene. Mm-hmm. When Benny mentioned Commando, I leaped to the end, but then as soon as he started to talk about the mall, I could remember that. When you mentioned Heat, I was like, well, there's a couple like car chase, like, it didn't jump out to me until you started to describe the freeway scene. And then it all kind of started to come back. So I think for me, I don't know. I would choose to either go with the Raid or the Kingsman over Heat.
What about you, Matt? What would you go for?
Well, I can't vote for myself.
Mm-hmm.
So after, you know, I put on a big show, I'll vote Heat. I will.
All right. So
that is a hell of a scene.
Heat.
He did that. Can I be real? That was the one of all the nominations I made. That was the one I was going to fight the hardest for. So I will concede to everything you guys want after this.
You're on notice. You keep talking shit about us. I will not do that again.
Understood.
I mean, your pick is good and all, but it sucks. Basically, we just got half-baked. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. I'm cool. Fuck you. And you're like, all right, guys.
I'm only giving my opinions. All
right. That's the only bone we're gonna throw you, JT. Well, I will say this. After this, I'm probably gonna go back and YouTube all of these like clips just to rewatch them because like I said, he just wasn't coming up to it. But you know what? You're right, that's a hell of a scene. So congratulations on that victory. We are going to take a break. Up next, we're going to go through our next three nominations, which is going to be the best story, best franchise, and best direction. Stay tuned.
Dinosaurs and man. Two species suddenly thrown back into the mix together.
Can I touch it?
Sure.
How can we possibly have the slightest idea what to expect?
Universal Pictures presents a Steven Spielberg film, an adventure 65 million years in the making.
Look out!
Jurassic Park, rated PG-13. Special premiere tonight, starts tomorrow everywhere.
The cop.
Full surveillance, round the clock.
The criminal.
Assume they got our phones, assume they got our houses, assume they got us.
The obsession.
The bank is worth the risk.
The confrontation.
Give me all you got!
On December 15th, Al Pacino, Robert De Niro, Val Kilmer, a Michael Mann film, Heat, rated R, starts Friday, December 15th at a theater near you.
All right, welcome back. Up next for our action Oscar categories is best story. Now, Benny, I'm sorry, refresh my memory. What are we calling these things?
The Slarnies.
The Slarnies. So up next in the Slarnies is best story. And Benny, since I just asked you, why don't you kick us off with your best action story?
Well, after Matt just threw a bunch of shade at Sylvester Stallone, I figure I'm going to go with a Sylvester Stallone movie for best story. It's the only one of his action movies with a story, really. I do concede that. I'm going with First Blood Part 1. Like, for an action movie, it has a lot of depth. There's a lot of undertones with, like, the Vietnam War being displaced when you came back from Vietnam. You know, the Korean War veterans' feelings towards the Vietnam veterans. So as far as an action movie story, with they're usually very simplistic, very straight to the point. I thought it had a lot of undercurrents, especially for the time that it released, the political environment at the time. I just thought it carried a lot more weight than your typical action story. So for me, it's First Blood. And after all, the awards are named Slarney. So we had to go with something Sly Bit related.
Matt, what do you have for best action movie story?
I will say, Benny, that is an excellent Sylvester Stallone movie. An excellent choice. One of his few that I genuinely like front to back. Awesome. And I love the story behind it, where in the original script, he's got a shitload of lines and they started filming it. And he tells the director, we need to cut all my lines because this character should not be talking this much. And you're like, yeah, once you see it, you're like, it makes sense that he's so inward and withdrawn and secluded from the world. But anyway, I went with one of my all-time favorite movies. I just love the overall arc of the movie itself and of the franchise. But I went with Indy Last Crusade.
Nice.
Oh. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. Indiana Jones is the one, probably my favorite movie character of all time, just because I couldn't be that individual. And so Last Crusade, bringing in Connery, who's only a few years older. He's playing his dad, the back and forth between the two of them. And it gives you another dimension to a character that you've already spent four and a half, five hours with. And you feel like you understand and know, and you get a nice backstory with the beginning of the movie, with the flashback, with the River Phoenix stuff, and then going on the dynamic between him and his father and how that basically his maturation throughout the entire movie. And I'd like that. And just the overall character development and growth of Indiana Jones, and made me love the character that much more.
Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade is right underneath my number one movie of all time. My number one movie of all time is Ghostbusters. Okay. And then Indiana Jones, Last Crusade is nipping at the heels of Ghostbusters for every reason that you just said. I considered that one actually for best story as well. But I just rewatched this on an airplane last week, flying home from a work trip. And I was like, this conversation hadn't come up, but I haven't stopped thinking about this movie. This too is also one of my favorites, and I think it's the best in the Cornetto trilogy. I went with a parody of action movies, and we're going to take a little trip to Sanford in England, and that would be Hot Fuzz by Edgar Wright. I'm sorry. I understand that it's a parody of all of these buddy cop tropes, but it's done so well, and there's so much action. Like, it's so much more than just a comedy. Like, it's a hell of an action movie, and they're just having so much fun, like, making this film. I understand that, like, this isn't your prototypical action movie, but look it up. It's an action comedy. I looked it up beforehand on IMDb. Hot Fuzz. I realize it won't win, but damn it, that's a good story. I'm throwing it out there.
Well, yeah, I did not see that coming. What an interesting choice, but I like out-of-the-box choices. I'm with Benny on this one. I actually also have First Blood. For me, it is a simple synopsis. If you're putting on a back DVD, man gets arrested, turns out to be ex-Green Beret, cops are chasing him. It sounds very simple. It's a very simple way to just watch an action movie. But I agree with Benny. I think the characters and some of the things that's saying are all kind of laying underneath. And it's so funny, Matt, to hear you say, like, I can't picture that movie with a lot of dialogue from Stallone.
Yeah.
It's just such a physical performance, and it's everything is said in his eyes and everything is boiling underneath. And I just think it is a great story because it has been copied so many times. Every movie where the guy is at a location and they just think he's just the cook, like in Under Siege. Oh, that's just Passenger 57. That's just so-and-so. But then they turn out to be a lot more than you expect them to be. And I just rewatched First Blood in theaters maybe 3 months ago, and it holds up so well. And it's actually really funny at times. There's some great humor in there, and some, even I would say, some commentary on like the National Guard and the police force and obviously how we treat veterans. So I also had First Blood. It's one of my favorite movies, so it was an easy pick for me.
Okay, well, when you go through, we've already got two nominations for First Blood. Obviously, Hot Fuzz won't win. If I had to cast a vote, that's tough, because I have to go with my love of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. So I'm going to vote for that one, just purely from like a nostalgic love of that movie.
I mean, it's your number two movie. I understand.
Yeah. So this kind of puts us at a tie. Talk it out, gentlemen. Make a case.
Okay. So if I can throw this out for the Indiana Jones, the Last Crusade, I think it is the more enjoyable out of the two movies for sure. But one thing is that there are two Indiana Jones movies before that, and they essentially have the same story. Indiana Jones going after a religious artifact, Indiana Jones using the religious artifact to overcome, you know, evil villains that are oppressing people, right? So the story, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, it may be the better of the two movies, depending on what you're in the mood for that day. But it's not as an original of a story, because it's copying itself from two other versions.
I mean,
that is fair. That is fair. Although I don't know that we want to bring in other movies as a franchise. We want to bring that into the argument. You know what I mean? You should have let that sleeping dog lie. Because the first Blood is flawless. Thereafter, depreciating returns.
That's true, but those other ones are copying the story from First Blood, not the other way around. Whereas The Last Crusade,
I can't vote for myself.
Yeah.
And you guys have already won.
So First Blood.
And if I was forced to vote, I would vote First Blood.
Well, here we go. We'll go First Blood. All right, best story, First Blood.
Yeah,
I will say this. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade is like the Avengers assemble for Indiana Jones. You have Marcus Brody, you have Sala, you have Henry Jones Sr., and you have Henry Jones Jr.
Got nice bits of comedy thrown in the midst of a heartfelt story between a father and son, and some great action. And we're killing Nazis, guys.
And we're always killing Nazis. That's
right. Always a win.
Okay, up next. And I'm surprised we're doing this one as early on as we are, but we're going to be doing the best action movie franchise. Mighty Matt Nost, kick us off, my friend. What is your best action movie franchise?
Well, I've already tipped my hand. Indiana Jones.
Nice.
Four of the five I will happily watch. Crystal Skull does not exist. It never happened, as far as I'm concerned, and I will never watch it again. But that series, that character I love so much. Are there other franchises that probably fit the mold better when you think of action films? 100%. This one was so tough to make a choice as to what my favorite franchise is. So I just defaulted to, well, if Last Crusade is, and it genuinely is, top five movie for me. I love it. if they were doing that letterbox thing with us, what they've been doing with stars on the red carpet. Yeah. Last Crusade would be in my five.
Okay.
They're all going with Truffaut and all this other. I mean, like, get the fuck out of here. Every one of them has the most pretentious five you've ever heard of. And I'm only buying that from directors and certain actors, and everybody else is like, oh, it's this French filmmaker you've never heard of. Okay. Okay. Last Crusade. So because it'd be in my top five, I'm just going to take Indy as my franchise.
JT, your best franchise.
Yeah, this is tough. Like Matt knows, I totally understand why you went with Indiana Jones. I looked at stuff like Die Hard, Lethal Weapon, and I was trying to find what franchise just was the most consistently great throughout and didn't have as many lows and was mostly highs. It was almost like an action movie math problem. I just went with Mission Impossible. I think they're one of the rare franchises that gets better and better as it goes. Even the weakest, I think a lot of people will agree the first two are the weakest probably now, but I still like the first film because it's a Brian De Palma action thriller. And as a John Woo fan, I like the ridiculousness of the John Woo part two. But then you get J.J. Abrams, Brad Bird, Christopher McQuarrie, all these directors coming in and showing you how to do these great set pieces. Fallout might have been the best in the series, and it was the one right before for the last one, which I still really enjoyed. I do think COVID and all everything, the way they had to shoot it affected the movie a little bit more, but they have one more movie coming out. I think just for my money, I could put that series on and have a good time with every single one of those films. And the production value, the craftsmanship, and the action sequences are some of the best. So I'm just going with quantity with really good quality. So Mission Impossible.
So I'm in the same boat. This was a hard one for me to be able to elect because you guys know this. Just last year, I finally watched the John Wick series.
Yeah.
Before we went and saw John Wick 4. And those movies are great. And I mean, there's going to be more. There's going to be a ballerina spinoff. Time will tell if that takes over the mantle. But I think the mantle is clearly set by Mission Impossible. That was also my vote, too. It's very rare that as movies continue to progress, Matt, you talked about it with Rambo. The first one was stellar. Everything after that just continued to get too cartoonish, and outlandish, and terrible. But the Mission Impossible movies, they started out fine, so a little slow, but then they just hit stride and hit stride and hit stride and just kept running with the ball. And you just can't deny like the set pieces, the stunts that they do in these movies is just out of control crazy. Yeah, Fallout, it for sure is my favorite. I mean, come on. You can't get more action adventure than Henry Cavill reloading his arms before getting into a fist fight. So I think Tom Cruise is just an insane human being and will one day kill himself. But that being said, give us the last Mission Impossible movie and this franchise nice with a key before you do that, Tommy. But I will say that it was close between John Wick. I consider the Die Hard movies. I consider the Indiana Jones movies. I consider the Jurassic Park. But I think Mission Impossible, to your point, JT, just keeps putting out quantity with quality.
So when I was conceptualizing this, like if you had to the franchises we're going to talk about, if you said, okay, you can have only Indiana Jones or these franchises, I would take Indiana Jones for the highs. But I think it two out of the five Indiana Jones movies are awful. And, you know, the last two I just think are terrible. And Mission Impossible, to me, you know, I'm not a huge Mission Impossible fan. They're generally fine. But two, I think it's just a terrible movie. It's horrible. Like, borderline, I can't get through it. It's that bad. So I went with the movie that to me is the most consistent. They are all, there's one great, there's three good, and that's John Wick. You know, John Wick has yet to put out a bad movie. They may have made a bad TV series, but this is movies, and none of the John Wick movies are bad. There's none of them that I object to watching again, where all the other franchises, they may have higher highs, but they also have a low, and John Wick has yet to have a low.
Interesting. I think one interesting thing is John Wick, what I like about it is you have the same director behind every single film. So that everything feels like a sequel that kind of one-ups the last film. I think John Wick's is an amazing action franchise, and it keeps kind of one-upping itself. But on the other hand, I do like Mission Impossible because you get all those different directors. It kind of like that J.J. Abrams third film feels like a J.J. Abrams movie. That fourth film with Brad Bird, you could see his touches in there. So I don't think one's better than the other. I think it's just two different ways of having an action franchise. We talk Lethal Weapon, all done by Richard Donner. Die Hard, first tour by John McTiernan, and then basically fell off after that. Oh, no, toured by John McTiernan. Second one was by Rodney Harlan. And then the other two we really talk about. Yeah, I don't even know where to start with this. How do you guys feel? Like, obviously, me and Moose picked Mission Impossible. Matt, how do you feel between Mission Impossible and John Wick?
I mean, between those two choices, it's a no-brainer. It's John Wick. Mission Impossible, to me, is pretty much boring. Fallout was good.
Wow.
The problem with Mission Impossible, in no point do I believe that character is in any real harm. I always know he's going to be. And that's every movie you're walking into. You know the hero's going to be fine. But for some reason, the sheen of that, is I never believe he's in any kind of peril. So John Wick, I don't like two of John Wick, but I think three is pretty flawless. And one is great. Four was good. The bulletproofness is starting to wear on me a little bit. Their outfits of, okay, so why do we even have guns, guys, if bullets don't do anything in this world? But I still enjoy the living shit out of it. Whereas Mission Impossible, I think Fallout is really good. I think there have been some other, Ghost Recon had some interesting moments. There's been some fun stuff in there, but I think a lot of Mission Impossible to me is kind of disposable.
Interesting. So, Moose, you had John Wick, your number two?
John Wick was my number two.
So this is tough because I agree with Benny on the Indiana Jones. I love the first three. If you stopped after three, I would argue it's the best trilogy, one of the best trilogies ever made. Yeah. I'm one of those people who like Temple of Doom. I'm not one of those people who hate that movie. Some people hate it. Some of the most iconic Indiana Jones moments come from Temple of Doom for me. The bridge scene is an all-timer. But I do agree with Benny, like four is awful. I'd actually kind of like the fourth one, except for the action. Like the action in the fourth one was the worst part. I like the character moments, the moments where you get to see all the old characters, and there's a lot of great heartfelt moments in that fourth film, but the action was forgettable. And at the end of the day, I go to an Indiana Jones movie for the action adventure. That's really what it's all about. So
wait, are you referring to the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull?
No, sorry,
or the Dial of Destiny.
Sorry, okay. Dial of Destiny is what I'm talking about. Yeah,
I was like, Crystal, what? Like Crystal, there was one returning character.
Yeah, no, sorry. Crystal Skull, there's nothing really for me in that movie at all, to be honest with you. It's a coaster.
Yeah. That one, sadly, the action is memorable because it sucks so bad.
Yeah. So I think it's between John Wick and Mission Impossible. Am I right? And we both pick Mission Impossible. Matt's going with John Wick. He's going with John Wick. Matt, do you want to concede to John Wick or do you want to fight for Mission Impossible?
Hold on, you asking me?
Oh, Moose, sorry.
Oof. So that's tough. Because Mission, this was one and two for me. And I'm new to the John Wick movies. I've only watched most of them one time, but they're extremely memorable. When we reviewed John Wick 4 last year, I said the same thing that Matt did about the just invincibility of John Wick. And how bullets just don't do anything, but yet their preferred method of taking each other out is guns. So it just, it gets a little long in the tooth with how many bullets he actually takes. Like, I think in the third one, when he's taking off his jacket, 50 shells come off of him because he's been shot that many times. And ironically, he's killed by a bullet. He
shot at and jumped off of the building.
When he's running and he's using the lapel of his coat, and the bullets are just bouncing off that, and he's got his gun poking around the outside. It's like, what are we doing?
But also, why does the millions of people that John Wick kills, why don't they also have that bulletproof lapel? why is he the only one?
Some of the henchmen villains do in the last one.
True.
So you had to do close combat. Yeah, why doesn't everybody then have this technology? I don't know.
I'm going to stick with my Mission Impossible.
I kind of want to stick with possible only because I feel like the Dubai scene, the whole helicopter chase and the fallout part three, the scene when Phil Seymour Hoffman and the bridge scene, the set pieces are on such a grand scale that I feel like John Wick is a cooler movie in a lot of ways. And the gunplay and, you know, the headshots, 100 people get shot in the head. But I feel like the set pieces just stand out so much more in a Mission Impossible. And when it comes to action filmmaking, they're two different styles. You know, one's a hard R gun movie. The other one is a big set piece kind of summer blockbuster. So, yeah, I'm really torn.
So, Benny, these are your awards. Can we award two?
Well, I mean, Streisand and Hepburn, they both got the same Oscar. I mean, you can call it a tie.
How do you guys feel about that?
If it comes down to a vote, I don't like the Mission Impossible movies. I'm not voting for it. So I'm voting for Indiana Jones. And so
can't vote for Mission Impossible. Sure. So I vote John Wick.
And so then it's you two. If you're both sticking with Mission Impossible, that's what wins.
Yeah, that's what wins. So what are we
doing? Mission Impossible?
Mission Impossible is the winner.
That's a tough one, though.
John Wick comes out, like, time will tell. Like, let's see how the ballerina is. I'm sure there's going to be a John Wick 5. Like, these spinoffs could reveal hidden fruit. So maybe John Wick in a year or two or a couple of years from now takes the taco on that one.
Benny, JT just did the fuck you, I'm cool. On his way out the door right there. Right, I mean, John Wick is good, but
John Wick. I had John Wick on my top 10. I think it was number 4.
I thought we weren't giving you any, although I won that one with you. So
That one's yours, man.
Yeah, I'll own the fuck you to you guys on that one. All right, next one. Best direction of an action movie. I'm going to kick us off on this one. I don't think that there is a better person to be able to give this award to, and that would be George Miller from Mad Max Fury Road. I think that is one of the greatest, if not like action-packed movies of all time. That movie is such a strange science fiction, adrenaline-fueled movie, and to just hear these stories and to know that, like, he tried to use as much practical effects as he possibly could in this movie. And George Miller, I think when he directed this movie, he was close to 80 years old, out in the middle of, you know, the Australian desert filming these movies. So I think it's a masterclass of action filmmaking. There's 4 minutes in that movie where you're just not on the edge of your seat and stressed the entire time. And that's the beginning and, you know, halfway through when they find the green place. So I think it's just we obviously haven't seen Furiosa yet, so I can't yet call like Mad Max Fury Road like George Miller's masterpiece, but I think it's about as close as that guy is going to get to the best movie he's ever going to direct, and I think that is one of the best action movies of all time. So George Miller is my vote. Matt, how about you?
An excellent choice. So when I thought about this, you know, JT sent me best direction. And I read into that like this. I went with the Russo brothers for the duality of Infinity Game or Infinity War and Endgame. Ooh. Because they had to take the cumulative work of so many other directors, 20 some odd other films, characters they've never touched before, and they have to bring in the sensibilities of, like, if you think of the Guardians, it's a different rhythm of the characters. The color palettes that those characters exist in don't exist anywhere else in the MCU. Then you have to bring in somebody like Strange, which exists in a completely different realm of the MCU. Have to do all this and blend it together and land 20 some odd films, of which you've only directed two until Infinity War, and did it in such a way that we all walked away satisfied and content with the fact that we spent so much time with these characters. It's the best payoff for a massive series like this. I don't think it'll ever be duplicated, as the MCU is now struggling to regain its footing after that, you know, after that landing. They still haven't really hit their stride. So the Russo brothers, to be able to do and take all the collective work of so many other individuals, combine it with theirs, and give us an end product that we all walked away from satisfied, that to me is the best direction.
Damn. Great point. Benny, how about you, buddy?
So I'm going with a director that never gets really any critical acclaim, and that's going to be Steven Spielberg for Raiders of the Lost Ark. So I'm going with it because, like, action movies like that were a dead genre. Like, when you got to the 80s, like, the sort of swashbuckling, things like that, they were out of style. And he took a dead genre, and he remade it into one of the driving forces of the 1980s. You got Romancing the Stone, so many other movies like that, King Solomon's Mines that came after that. And so when I think of an action adventure movie, this is the movie that I think of. And as far as action movies go, it is the perfectly paced movie. And to me, that's the key of good direction, is when you sit through a movie, how well it flows. And Raiders of the Lost Ark has no wasted moment. It starts and it goes right where it should. And you never feel like, please God, let this end. And I don't know. So I'm rambling at this point. But anyway, I think it's the perfect adventure movie. I think it's the perfect paced movie. And I love it.
I mean, can't argue with Steven Spielberg, that's for sure. I'm on the same page as Moose again. I went with George Miller for Mad Max Fury Road because I watched that movie and have all these films. I just said, how the hell did he do this? It was mind-boggling. I remember being in the theater and having the visual reaction of guy just wanting to grab the person next to me and be like, do you understand what we're watching right now? This is next level shit. And I was just out of my mind watching the movie. It's so impressive. And then to hear your stories, they released a book this year, I think last year, Blood and Chrome, about the making of this film. Charlize Theron didn't know what the hell was going on half the time. Tom Hardy says, I don't know what's happening. People thought this movie was going to be a disaster, but the movie was all inside of George Miller's head. And he was the one person who said, trust me, I will take us to the finish line. It's one of the few action films to get nominated for Best Picture. I think it's a masterpiece. I agree with you. Furiosa, you know, could be another masterpiece. This is a masterpiece. I think Mad Max Fury Road is next level action filmmaking. So I had to give it to George Miller just because I can't imagine how hard it was to make that movie. The things that were happening on screen, I just was beside myself when I was watching it.
So I know that numbers game, that I'm already losing this battle, but I'll throw this argument out there. One is, okay, Indiana Jones and Raiders was made coming up on 45 years ago now. And another 45 years ago, I think Raiders will still be being watched. Maybe Mad Max Fury Road will be. I don't know. But I'll say this, for me personally, I don't think Mad Max Fury Road is in the top of its own franchise. I think there are two Mad Max movies that I would watch again before I would watch it.
So you're saying I'm getting Road Warrior and Beyond Thunderdome? Is that what you're going with?
Beyond Thunderdome and Road Warrior. Okay.
Listen, I like all of the Mad Max movies, but I watch those movies. Road Warrior is probably the closest to Fury Road as far as like direction skill. To me, I'm just going best director. I watch those older films and I'm like, oh yeah, I could see someone else directing those. I just can't imagine anybody else directing Fury Road. Spielberg and Raiders, though, like, masterpiece, also a masterpiece, one of the best filmmakers ever, and it has stand the test of time. And I think if there is one thing that's going to knock Mad Max Fury Road is, I mean, it's not like new, it's what, 8 years old now? So, but it was universal acclaim the second it came out. So it's a hard, yeah. But I agree with Benny. Raiders has stand the test of time. Yeah, Avengers, man, I didn't even cross my mind, but you made a great case, Matt. That is so much. I will say the movies they made afterwards hurt them a little bit because I don't think I've liked the single.
Well, we can't do that.
Yeah.
Okay, babe.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't bring in the rest of somebody else's canon.
Yeah. That's
Spielberg
true.
Has some that I don't care for either. Most of his recent work, I don't care for.
I guess the only thing I'll say is like George Miller, that is the only George Miller could have made that movie. And I guess the argument is because somebody else have made those movies. I don't know.
Well, okay. So hearing Matt's nomination and his obvious like case for it, he looked at the category that was given to him and it was best direction. Mm-hmm. I think all of us looked at best director and he looked at best direction. And
yeah.
I was intentionally not, because I could nominate a comic book movie mm-hmm. for every category that we have on this list. But I'm changing my vote because he's right. Like Infinity War and Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
Like you had to balance 21 movies up to this point. You had to balance so many characters and you had to make like us care. And then they have the audacity to let the villain win in the first half of this duo, right? They let Thanos win. How shocked was everybody when we saw T'Challa turn to dust and then everyone else turned to dust? I remember like coming home from the movies and getting texts from my sister, like, they're coming back, right? Like, I hope so. You know?
Yeah.
And yeah, of course they're coming back. But and then the way that they ended it, it was so satisfying. They literally could have ended the MCU after that. And I think we would have been like, it's perfect. You don't need any more entries into this. But obviously these movies are moneymakers. They're going to keep continuing.
Yeah.
But for, I mean, that was 10 years of payoff that went into that. And to be able to balance 10 years, 21 movies, 40 characters, and to be able to get that type of satisfied feeling, I'm switching my vote. I'm going with the Russo brothers.
This is so tough because if I was to vote, I would go for Raiders out of all these categories. Only because I do think Spielberg directed some of the best action scenes. That fight with the plane going around is like in the scene where the chase scene on from truck to truck with Indiana Jones. Those are two of my favorite action scenes ever. So I would vote Indiana Jones if we're not going to go with our original choices.
Yeah. If I can't vote my own, I would probably go with the Infinity Saga. Because like I said, I don't think Fury Road is the best movie in its own franchise.
So I think that does it.
The Russo brothers are going to take it.
So
okay, well, scores, Daisy.
So we're saying it's for two films. We're saying for the
so Infinity War.
Yeah. Okay. So it's for both. Got it.
Yeah. I mean, you could watch those two back to back. Consider them one movie. Wow. Okay. So we've talked ourselves in and out of our own decisions here. But yes, wrapping up this segment right now for best direction is going to be the Russo brothers. And that is how they capped Infinity War and Endgame in the MCU. We'll take a quick break. We're going to come back with the big three, best actor, best actress, and best picture. We'll be right back.
He was harassed for no apparent reason. He was arrested for no particular crime.
I'm starting to dislike you. A lot.
They thought they'd found an easy mark. They were wrong. Sylvester Stallone. This time he's fighting for his life. First Blood.
Village brings you the hits.
They've got the building.
They have already killed one hostage.
They've got the odds. They've got his wife.
No, no!
Now, he's got one night to get it all back.
You really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay.
Bruce Willis in 40 Stories of Sheer Adventure. Die Hard, rated R.
Now playing in selected cities. Starts Wednesday, July 20th at theaters everywhere.
Avengers. I hope they remember you. No! I do hope those that survive remember everything.
Welcome back and on to the big three. We're going to kick off with best actress in an action movie. JTE, you've been waiting for this one, buddy. Kick us off, man. What's your first nomination for best actress?
Sometimes the most obvious is the right choice. I went with Sigourney Weaver in Aliens. She was nominated for best actress that year. It is, when I think of action heroine, that's who I think of. I think of Sigourney Weaver in the Aliens franchise, but more so Aliens than Alien, because I think Alien, the first one, it's a horror film, it's a sci-fi horror thriller. That second movie, James Cameron's Aliens, is a full-on war film in space, and Sigourney Weaver absolutely kicks ass throughout that whole movie. And what I love about James Cameron is it builds and builds and builds. in that last fight between the Queen Alien and when Ripley comes out and says, "Get away from her, you bitch." Iconic. Absolutely love it. Sigourney Weaver is my choice.
I'll just go with mine because I considered Uma Thurman for Kill Bill. I considered Charlize Theron for Furiosa, but ultimately I came back to Sigourney Weaver as Ripley. She has played that character, and even in the misses, like Alien Resurrection or whatever, yep, the fourth one that she played, she's still a kick-ass character in that role. And you just can't deny, like, the, like, she's iconic in this role. And I agree, that's the first thing that came to my mind too when we were discussing best actresses in action movies. It's Sigourney Weaver for Aliens. That's my vote. Matt, how about you?
I thought about Charlize because you have Furiosa, but then don't forget about Atomic Blonde.
Oh, so good in Atomic Blonde.
Yeah, when I was thinking action, I was like, okay, well, who's actually pulling off the action? Who's actually in the scenes kicking some fucking ass? And as much as I love Sigourney Weaver, there's not a lot of, like, you know, hand-to-hand combat, getting in, mixing things up. She's awesome. Great character. Alien is a flawless movie. But I went with one that is going to lose, guys. But I'm throwing it out there. It's fine. I'm happy to nominate a loser. I have no problem doing that. And it's for a very specific reason. But I went Zoe Saldana. Ooh. Or Saldana.
Which film?
Well, for Guardians, you know, of the Galaxy. That's a
specific film.
Yeah, for Gamora. Yeah, sure.
Well, there's Gamora. But I would say more so Star Trek.
Yeah, as Uhura.
For actual action. And this is what I'm talking about. I believe it's Into Darkness. So she comes into the movie and she's already got all the Gamora stuff under her belt. And this is how good she is. When they do the fight scenes, her shots are wide shots because she can do all the choreography and she can throw the punches and the kicks. And then you go to Quinto, Zachary Quinto's Spock, and it is tight close-ups, man, and quick cuts because somebody can't do the action. And then we go back over to Uhura and it is wide shots and she's just crushing the action. And then we go to Chris Pine. It's like a medium shot. He's pretty good at it. And then Quinto, another really tight shot. Really can't see what the fuck's going on there. And then we go back to her, and she is just amazing at the action. That coupled with Gamora, I'm going to lose this argument. I'm fine with that. Sigourney Weaver is a great winner, but I chose Zoe.
But Zoe was in The Losers. She was
sure.
Kick-ass in The Losers.
Columbian.
She was kick-ass. She kicks ass in the Avatar movies. That's a good nomination, man. Yeah.
So I have no problems with Sigourney Weaver winning it, but her name has already been mentioned for this film a couple times in the honorable mentions, but I went with Charlize Theron in Atomic Blonde.
Yeah.
And so the way that I conceptualized it is, do I think that character in a real reality could kill somebody? And, you know, Sigourney Weaver is great in the Alien movies, but it still seems like a movie character, you know. But the Atomic Blonde character, where it's exaggerated, I feel like probably in the 70s there was a KGB or a German Stasi agent that wasn't too far from what Charlize Theron portrayed right there. And so that's why I thought it was the best performance, because I thought it was, even though exaggerated in the actual hand-to-hand combat, I thought it was the most grounded and realistic of all of these. So that's why I went with her in Atomic Blonde.
I mean, she kills a guy by stabbing him with her high heel in the throat. That's pretty awesome.
I like it because she actually has a fight scene and gets tired.
Yes.
She's fighting the one dude and they just keep going and they're both just gassed. And you're like, yeah, that's an actual fight. She was my number two choice. But I figured we were going to do a lot of Furiosa love on this show, so I went with Zoe.
Okay, so we have two for Sigourney Weaver. I think specific to Ripley, I mean, look, she's not going to get the vote for Dana Barrett in Ghostbusters. I do think Sigourney Weaver's Ripley character, she's played it four times. We got Zoe Saldana for the body of work, and then to Benny's point, we have Charlize Theron. You can go Furiosa. You can go Atomic Blonde. Where are we leaning, gentlemen? What's your guys' thoughts here?
I'll say, if we're not doing specific movies, if we're just doing, you know, Nah, actress action. Charlize Theron, you know, you guys had her in the Best Picture discussion. And she was the honorable mention to a couple ones on this. So the body of work is better than Sigourney Weaver's, who's had one real action movie. Most of the other Alien movies are either sci-fi or horror, whereas she has had a couple of pure action movies.
Very true.
So I think we got to define that, because I went in thinking that we had to pick a specific movie, which is why I did Aliens. Are you guys now saying we're opening this up to their whole?
You didn't send me that.
So I don't know. Benny said this, I think, in our text.
Yeah, guess what? I'm not privy to those texts.
Benny, correct me if I'm wrong. Did you say it was a single movie or no?
I was intending it to be for a movie.
Okay. So I think let's stick with those, because I think that was the main.
That's how I read into the actors, actresses as well. I mean, we gave Tessa Thompson for Ragnarok.
We apologize to Matt for not giving you
better. No. I'll say this much then. JTE and Moose, suck it. I am changing my vote to Atomic Blonde, Charlize Theron. Let's get Benny a goddamn win. That's what I'm saying. Fuck you both.
All right. So
2-2. What are you guys going to do now?
Yeah,
you guys, it's like you guys shared your list between the two of you.
We're just going to
screw over Benny and Matt.
And it's funny too, because for the most part, I have very differing opinions than JTE on movies. Yeah.
Hey, Benny, you want to start the Red Vines Twizzlers movie podcast? Let's fucking do this, man. Let's fucking do this.
Oh, man. All right. Oh, this is tough.
Damn, that's a catchier name than the
the word salad that is movie butter podcast. Topping podcast.
There it is. Nailed it.
All right, Moose, how are you feeling? Do you want to fight for Sigourney, or do you want to, how are you feeling?
I mean, look, she is entirely a badass in Atomic Blonde, but when I think of Charlize Theron in action, I immediately go to Furiosa. I cannot deny how great she is in Atomic Blonde, though.
She's great, yeah.
And that movie is a very underrated movie. I don't think a lot of people have seen that. And listeners, if you haven't seen it, we would highly recommend Atomic Blonde, just even for the fight sequences in that movie. But I think you don't get any more iconic than that line, "Get away from her, you bitch," in Aliens. And yeah, listen, when Ripley suits up and she's a one-man army going against an entire alien horde to rescue Newt, I gotta stick with my vote of Sigourney for Ripley.
Yeah, it's tough, because I think you can make a great case, Benny and Matt, about the physicality of it. But it's weird, because that shouldn't be what only, you know, not obviously it's not what you're saying that only goes in, but like Dirty Harry never really punched a guy. He just said cool lines and pointed a gun. Like, I know what you're asking yourself. Like, there's certain, like, John McClane is not like a great fighter. He like wrestles guys. For the most part, he's shooting, jumping, and running away. But he's a great action hero.
So hold on. Is this an argument for or against?
It's both. I don't understand this. I'm weighing the pros and the cons.
This is like, great. You're your own straw man argument.
I really am. I'm struggling. Like, I think Aliens is the more iconic movie and a more iconic role.
Sure.
But Charlize gives a better physical performance and is better in the actual action scenes. So it's a really tough decision. And you guys are both going for Atomic Blonde, and we're both going, how do we figure? So let's.
A numbers game. If you guys both go with that, it wins, because I can't vote for Atomic Blonde.
I changed my vote to Atomic Blonde.
So it's 2-2.
It's 2-2.
Yeah, it's 2-2. So
I'm not voting for you, Benny. I am siding with you over these two conspirators that continuously fuck us over.
They must be team Red Vine here, JT, because I'm team Twizzlers. So
Red Vines are so superior. It's not even fun. I grew up on Twizzlers.
Once again,
Red Vines, you're like, it's like I'm always a Dickens character with these fucking Twizzlers before.
Red Vines are just wax. That's all they are.
Yeah. No, that's all Twizzlers are.
Once again, I was a Moose. It's
basically the Catwoman's bodysuit in Batman fucking Returns. As an actual, Red Vines are so good.
Benny, what's your wife's favorite licorice?
It's Twizzlers.
Boom.
What if we met in the middle? What if we?
How is that?
That's the tiebreaker.
What if we compromise and we give it Charlize, but we give it to her for Furiosa?
No.
No.
I'll defer to Benny.
What do you feel about that?
I feel like there needs to be a definitive winner. Like, it's Atomic Blonde or it's Sigourney Weaver as Ripley.
Mathematically, I think that
I'll say this. What, like, over the span of time, like 10 years from now, how many people are going to remember that performance? They're going to remember her as Furiosa. I think when Sigourney Weaver passes, you'll always remember her from as a character of Ripley.
That's fine. I will see when the votes change, like, it's the more iconic. I will give into it. I just, you know, it's just a personal preference thing, but I have no problem with Sigourney Weaver winning.
All right. Mark it down, Moose. It was a tough one. If you went for,
I don't know. I feel like I just kind of bullied my way into that win.
I'd like, if you went for Furiosa, I would probably would concede. I just can't do it for Atomic Blonde because,
well, again,
the physical part is so good, but the movie is so.
The question came up earlier. Can we go with two winners in this?
I think we got to go with one.
It's all right. I'm just going to have to fight harder in the next category.
Yeah.
Okay. Sigourney Weaver wins for the character of Ripley in Aliens. All right. Next up, we have Best Actor. God damn it. We need to throw Benny a bone here. Benny, kick us off. Come on, I mean, Benny. Look, we won Hans Gruber together. So yeah, that was true. We won the first one of the night. Why don't you kick us off with
bullshit, don't fall for their bullshit.
Best Actor.
So I'm going with a iconic actor for one of his less iconic roles. But I think when it comes to action movies, it's a performance with the widest range of emotions, because most of the action characters, they're very stoic. They're very quippy. They don't have a large range of emotion that they play. And in this movie, he plays sadistic. He plays vulnerable. He plays damage. He plays the good guy. And that's Denzel Washington for Man on Fire. Yeah, so like when he's playing the burnt out alcoholic, when he's playing the father figure, it's very different emotions. When he's sitting in a car cutting off a guy's fingers, you're like, oh shit, that's a badass character. So he runs this entire gamut in this movie, and I just, like, to me it's better than any of the Equalizer movies. So it's I just think an iconic performance from him, and I love it and everything.
Matt, how about you? Who do you have for Best Actor?
Well, once again, I wasn't told it was individual movies.
Sure.
So my pick doesn't make sense. It's just going to get shot down. Because I don't have a specific movie. I went with Keanu Reeves just because he has two wildly successful franchises.
Sure.
And
yeah, he's put him in a few. Matrix, Point Break, John
Wick. Point Break, yeah. Speed.
Speed is
and now John Wick, and you're like, but I wasn't going specific movies, so I have no distinct argument for him outside of the fact of, look at the body of work. You can just kind of plug and play and put him into an action movie, and it's pretty damn successful.
Mm.
Even if I don't much care for it, box office says that I am in the wrong. So that's fine. But anyway, yeah, so I don't. I love the choice of Man on Fire. It's a phenomenal movie. So much so that I've managed to put it una palabra on Settle the Score three times and no one's ever gotten it. And I'm hoping someday someone does, and I understand why they don't get it, but I still think they should go watch that movie.
Mm. JT, how about you? Who is your nomination for Best Actor?
This was a really hard one for me because there's so many great action roles. Do tend to seem to go for more than iconic roles. The roles that I feel like are singular and maybe imitated, but never, you know, duplicated. I went with a 1970s film starring Bruce Lee, Enter the Dragon. Unfortunately, he passed away after this movie made, but even today, he is, that role of Bruce Lee in Enter the Dragon is still iconic. It's still copied. It's still mirrored. And to me, it kind of goes to Benny's thing about, like, are you going to be remembered, you know, in 20, 30, 40 years? Bruce Lee is just as popular today as he was back then. And he did it with one movie. And his physical prowess is unmatched. I mean, obviously Jackie Chan carved out his own thing, but nobody quite brought the performance and bravado that Bruce Lee did in Enter the Dragon. So I'm going with Bruce Lee, Enter the Dragon, an icon.
I think Benny's going to win this because I put Denzel Washington for Man on Fire.
Wow.
Yes.
Holy cow.
I also just rewatched that movie. And again, maybe because it's the freshest in my mind. But also, I agree. I mean, his character arc in that movie is very tragic. He starts broken. He starts to heal. And then the one thing that is healing him and bringing him back to real, you know, life or humanity is taken away from him. And he just becomes this, like, that, I know the scene that you're talking about, Benny, when he's in the car and he's just hacking up this guy. And the way that he's just doing this with ease, like, it's just a comfort level for him. This, like, level of, like, torture and pain that he's inflicting on another human being is comfortable. It's familiar. He's been there and he's done that. He has such a range of emotions throughout that movie. It's a great movie. It's a great role for Denzel Washington. I considered Sylvester Stallone in First Blood. Because you guys kind of all touched on it, like, he doesn't do a lot of talking. When he does, it is, especially when he has his breakdown towards the end of the movie, it's very tragic, it's sad, but he does so much acting with his eyes. He's almost like a wounded dog through a lot of the movie. He doesn't make eye contact with people. So I considered Sylvester Stallone for First Blood, but I just kept coming back to Denzel for Man on Fire. So I agree. The Equalizer movies, those are fine. Those are cookie cutter action movies. He's not winning any Academy Awards or getting any acclaim for acting in those movies, but he was stellar in Man on Fire.
All right. Well, Matt, we're out of odd ones out here. Do you agree? Do you want to go with Denzel, Man on Fire?
Two votes. They got two votes already. So I think it's a done deal. Fait accompli.
Wow.
Yeah, I got zero problem with that. I think of those two choices, I think it's, I would take Denzel over Bruce Lee.
All right, I said we're just going to put Denzel in there. Best actor, Man on Fire.
I'm shocked you said that. I thought I was going to be the odd man out on that one, Benny.
And I'll be honest, it never crossed my mind, but it is a great performance.
Now, here's the big one. It's Best Picture, Best Action Movie. I'm sure we will all have differing opinions on this one. But because he's our beloved guest, Matt, why don't you kick us off with your nomination for Best Action Picture?
Went back and forth on this. But if we're just talking like a pure action film, I was going to do Last Crusade, but I was like, I've already given it enough love on this. So I went with one that you guys have already mentioned a couple times, which is Mad Max Fury Road. It is beautiful. It is thrilling. It's nonstop adrenaline. It's basically a 2-hour car chase. And yet it is unlike anything I've ever seen on film. As much as, you know, Beyond Thunderdome and Road Warrior, it's similar to Road Warrior. The style of it amps it up to a much higher degree for me. Plus, I've watched like all the behind the scenes stuff and all the stupid little things about it just because I become so entranced. And when it was nominated it for Best Picture, it felt like validation for all of us that go to movies all the time and love these movies and they never get any respect. Now, if only a comedy could actually make it into this mix somewhere at some point that doesn't have Woody Allen's name attached to it.
Yeah.
It'd be nice because we all love those as well. So I went with Mad Max Fury Road.
Benny, how about you? Your Best Picture nomination.
Well, I went with something that's an iconic action movie that's become an iconic holiday movie. And that if you're on the Mount Rushmore of, you ask someone what's the best action movie of all time, half the people are going to say it. So I went with Die Hard. You know, one of the all-time great villains, one of the all-time great heroes, great shootouts, fun supporting characters. It's flawless as far as an action movie goes, and I watch it a couple of times every year, so it's what it is.
JT, your nomination for Best Picture.
You know, back in the day, whatever the best director used to go hand in hand with Best Picture. And I seem to be fulfilling that prophecy because I had George Miller as Best Director and I have Mad Max Fury Road for Best Picture. I do think it is the best film of the past 15, maybe 20 years when it comes to action films. I think it's a masterpiece. So a lot of these movies are flirting with masterpiece or close to it. I could confidently say Mad Max Fury Road is a masterpiece. And I think Die Hard was the answer, I think, for the last 30 years or so. And now for me, it's Mad Max Fury Road. So my best picture nominee, I'm right there with Matt Nose, Mad Max Fury Road.
Well, gentlemen, we're in a bit of a pickle here because nobody dies harder than John McClane. And I went with Die Hard as my movie for best action movie of all time. I don't watch Mad Max Fury Road to celebrate any holiday. I watch it because it's a very entertaining movie. I, like most people in the world now, put on Die Hard as a Christmas movie. When you would have suggested 20 years ago that Die Hard was a Christmas movie, that wouldn't have come up. This movie has evolved into becoming a holiday classic. But to Benny's point, like when you think of the Mount Rushmore of all-time great action movies, Die Hard is firmly planted in the Abe Lincoln spot. And so I absolutely adore this movie. I could probably sit down and quote you this movie line for line because I've seen it so many times. I gave Mad Max Fury Road the love with George Miller earlier in the movie, and that kind of made my decision for me because I didn't want to keep throwing the same movies over and over and over again. I'm not going to deny the incredible spectacle that is Mad Max Fury Road and how great that movie is. I nominated it earlier for Best Direction. I think it's an outstanding movie. I just think in the pantheons of action movies, Die Hard is one of those staples. This movie was supposed to be terrible. This is Bruce Willis's first movie that he was primarily a soap opera actor and came in and crushed the role as Detective John McClane.
Well, we got a pickle here. Listen, obviously, Matt loves Die Hard. I love Die Hard. I think it's one of the best action movies ever. It's on a Mount Rushmore. The problem is I recently went up there with a chisel and I put in George Miller's Mad Max also on that Mount Rushmore. It's up there with the all-time great action movies. Matt, how you feeling?
How do you argue against
Die Hard? I know.
You know, I'm not going to do what others, and I will remain nameless, have done on this show. Whereas they may or may not tell you that your pick sucks and then why theirs is the better pick. I will just say I am not relenting. I have relented other times. So I don't know how we're going to do this, guys.
Yeah, it's tough.
Be two winners on this.
Like if Best Director went to George Miller, I'd feel like I'd relent a little bit easier on Best Picture. But we gave it to the Russo brothers. And I feel like to have this list and not have Mad Max Fury Road anywhere on this list is a crime to action movies all over America.
So if I can throw out an argument, though.
Yes, yes.
Okay. If you're saying, what is the greatest action movie villain of all time? Hans Gruber is going to beat out Immortan Joe. If you're saying, what is the greatest action movie hero of all time? Some people may argue it, but I think most people are going to take John McClane over Furiosa.
Or Mad Max.
Or Mad Max, either one. If you're taking out which movie is going to hold the test of time better, Die Hard has cemented itself not only as an action classic, as a holiday movie. Die Hard is not going away over the next 50 years. Mad Max Fury Road remains to be seen. So if you break it down into its components, Die Hard is beating it on everything. Now, you can say maybe pure action, but that would be about it. On all the other categories, Die Hard is coming out ahead if you break it down into its component parts.
Let's also throw in the argument of catchphrase. What is Max Rockatansky's catchphrase? I could tell you what John McClane's is. We all could tell you what John McClane's is.
I would argue catchphrases were a thing of the 80s and 90s and don't really sit in action movies of today. Like, even though I liked 100%. Beekeeper, it was awful every time he did a catchphrase.
Because he's protecting the hive? Yeah, How did you like that movie?
God, that movie was terrible. It's a good, bad movie. I said it wasn't a good movie, but I enjoyed it. It's so hard because I love Die Hard. And I agree with you. Alan Rickman is a more memorable villain. But for visceral action filmmaking, this was it destroys Die Hard just on the action level, in my opinion. I love Die Hard. I love the action in it, and I love the characters. I love it's a fun movie. I watch it every Christmas also. But when you're going for that visceral action filmmaking, I think Mad Max trumps it just on a pure visceral level of skill, quality. It is everything since Die Hard of action movie making used to its best degree. Like, it is made flawlessly. It's like he made Mad Max movies, and for like 30 years he just had this movie building up in him, and he unleashed it on the world, and it took everyone by storm. This is a really tough decision to make. I don't know what to do.
I think Die Hard fits more in the formula of what you anticipate from an action film. Mad Max should fail 37 times along the way, and yet somehow it succeeds ultimately. And I will say this, I think of the three of you guys as gentlemen, as of men of class, men of taste, and a gentleman, when they invite a guest in, would make them feel at home. You know what I mean? They would be like, you know what? I'm gonna offer him my seat. I'm gonna make sure he's got a fresh beverage. I think in this one, since I haven't won one of these tiebreakers, I think as the gentlemanly thing would be to have your guest win one. That's all I'm gonna say.
I agree with Matt. I gotta agree with
Matt. All right. How about
this is the shittiest argument I think I've ever made.
But yet Benny and I are both going like, damn, are we gonna be dicks if we
we
lose the gentleman title?
So here's what I'm saying, though, is like, if we as individuals, if we were to rank our however many films of all time, okay, for you, where is Fury Road and where is Die Hard on that all-time list? For me, there's a pretty wide chasm. Like, for me, Fury Road is not cracking my top 50 movies of all time. Die Hard is cracking the top 10.
Don't fucking bring logic into this.
So I'm saying, for the rest of you, where is that chasm?
Doesn't exist. Fury Road's my favorite movie of all time. Boom, done. Walking away.
Argument diffused.
Yeah.
Well, Benny is the one who likes Mad Max Fury Road, I think, the least of all of us. I think that's one thing we've learned on this episode. Like, it's
3 out of 4.
Yeah. For me, like, Furiosa, I mean, Mad Max Fury Road, I think overall, they're not far apart, but they're in the top 20. You know what I mean? Both Die Hard and Mad Max Fury Road are the top 20 for me.
How willing are you guys to enter into a tie on this one? Because I feel like we're all kind of trenched in with our votes on this one. We're throwing arguments at each other that we're all just kind of going like...
Should we flip a coin? Do you guys want to flip a coin?
I'm okay saying Die Hard is the best action picture and Furiosa is the best comedy or musical.
Get out of here. Oh, jeez. I feel like we're having a battle of old school and new school. Are we going for the, you know,
now,
the
one that started all or the one that redefined it? That son of a bitch, I've been on your side this whole show. Now you fuck you'd me. I was willing to relent until I got fuck you. So no, I want, look, I got a coin. I got a whole jar full of fucking coins right here.
All right.
I got a sack of Jawea.
Do you guys want to do the coin toss?
We're doing the sack of Jawea.
Let's go.
You call it, Matt.
Well, I'm flipping.
Yeah.
So I have one of the others.
Go ahead, Benny.
I'll knock it down from 3-2-1 and at 1, call it in the air. 3.
We'll let you call it, Benny.
2-1
Heads.
Fury Road's number one, boy.
You lying bastard.
Yes.
Mad Max Fury Road takes the win.
Amazing.
Nice.
Listen, I love Die Hard, though. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm just choosing to go with the new school instead of the old school.
We're going to put Die Hard as an honorable mention.
Yeah, runner up.
Mad Max Fury Road is the winner. So let's go through really quick our winners for each category. Number one, we had Best Supporting Actor. That was Alan Rickman as Hans Gruber from Die Hard. Can you imagine if the movie is called The Die Hard? Anyways, number two, best supporting actress, Tessa Thompson, Thor Ragnarok. Great win for Tessa. Number three, best effects, Jurassic Park. Come on, no brainer there. Number four, best fight scene. We went with the freeway scene from Heat.
We had action scene.
Best action scene, excuse me. Best story, we had First Blood. Rambo First Blood was the winner for best story. Best franchise, we had the Mission Impossible franchise. Best direction, we had the Russo brothers for Infinity War and Endgame. Number, we had best actor with Denzel Washington for Man on Fire. Best actress, Sigourney Weaver with Ripley's as the character Ripley from Aliens. And our best picture is Mad Max Fury Road.
Wow. Anything stick out to you guys, or you look at this list like, wow, didn't expect that?
I would say Tessa Thompson winning is the biggest surprise. The biggest tragedy is, of course, Fury Road winning Best Picture. But other than that, I think it's a pretty solid list.
Yeah, looking at it, I'm pretty happy. Tessa was a surprise, but I think Matt made a great case for her. And that was something that just didn't cross my mind. But once he said it, I was like, 100% see that. Denzel is another one. Great pick. Never crossed my mind. But once you guys said it, I was like, yeah, he's amazing, that movie. Like, he could have gotten nominated possibly for that. So great pick there. The Russo brothers, I'm still wrapping my head around a little bit. That's the only one. Only because I feel like Marvel is such a machine. It's like they carried it to the finish line. And I think they got to be rewarded for that. But yeah, so Russo brothers is probably the most interesting choice out of all these for me.
Well, because that category was best direction, we all, or the three of us, interpreted that as best director. So we all threw out a director nomination. But Matt read the literal translation, which is best direction. And I think that that is the perfect choice if you're going to choose a best direction, especially for to cap off 21 movies and an entire 10-year, a decade span worth of time invested, hundreds of dollars invested on all of our parts, billions of dollars invested worldwide from box office audiences. So that one is, that's the perfect landing for best direction. I was shocked. Denzel, like I put Denzel because that movie was so fresh in my mind. I did not think Man on Fire and Denzel Washington. I thought that was going to be a throwaway, like my Hot Fuzz.
Yeah. It never crossed my mind. Like, I don't know why. It just never crossed my mind.
But that's awesome. And look, I have no qualms about Mad Max Fury Road winning Best Picture. It was a toss-up between Die Hard and Mad Max Fury Road. I had George Miller, obviously, for Best Director. So I think next time we do these, we'll get a little more maybe literal with some of the categories, or maybe a little more broad with some of them. But yeah, I like the list that we have. Matt, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a great list. It's a lot of fun, gentlemen. You know what, for first time having done this, I think there's a lot of potential here, and you guys can continue doing this with numerous different guests on all kinds of different genres, and even winnow down on, hey, we're just doing like best actors of, and then go through specific genres of action films or whatever the case is. So kudos to you. Hopefully the popcorn fans out there enjoyed it and they're clamoring for more.
More butter.
Well, we do, of course, want to thank you, Matt. You've been outstanding. Thank you so much for coming on our show. Please take the floor. Tell us about Settle the Score, my friend.
Well, all three of you have been on the show, so thank you for that. And it's a movie music trivia show. It's not a serious competition. We're not trying to figure out the world's greatest. It's my co-host and partner is a gentleman named Andy, and he's wildly talented. And basically, I am just there to facilitate everybody enjoying his talent. I am nothing but window dressing for the actual artistry on display. He's really good, and it doesn't matter what movie or song I come up with, he manages to learn it. It doesn't matter what language. Like, we did a German song from Major Tom. Major Tom from Atomic Blonde in German. And he did the phonetic German, and it sounded flawless. And I love doing that. We did Anything Goes from Temple of Doom. And we did the phoneticized Mandarin. Sounded exactly like it. He's phenomenal. But yeah, we just give some clues. You guess the movie based on the song, and that's basically the gist of it. And please check it out.
Now we're releasing on Thursday. I believe that's when your episodes are released. Is every Thursday?
Every Thursday, yeah.
So tune in today, folks, when this is releasing, to a double dose of Matt Knows. Go check out Settle the Score on YouTube, and of course, check out the Extra Movie Butter Boys here. But gentlemen, this was a ton of fun. Benny, good idea. This is a lot of fun. I agree with Matt. I think we got something here. We can definitely make this work.
I'm already thinking of the horror version. Like, that's going to be fun.
You guys will just give it to James Wan. You guys are suckers for James Wan. Well, I want to thank everybody on this panel. This was a ton of fun. Our Best Picture winner, Mad Max Fury Road. Go watch it. Go watch Atomic Blonde. We've thrown out some great movies for you guys to watch. Go watch my personal favorite, Thor Ragnarok. Love Tessa Thompson in that movie. And of course, Man on Fire. Can't ignore Denzel. You just can't. He'll equalize you. Have a good night, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
Good night, everybody.